to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Roto Experts live with you. Corey Parson, Fantasy Executive, King Scott Angle, Wall Street Matt Modica. I'll be going on YouTube coming up in just a few minutes from now. So make sure you check out the YouTube account at Fantasy Sports Network on YouTube. And remember, if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, and the single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. It's free to enter. Sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. So there were two major trades in the NFL yesterday before the Ezekiel Elliott news broke. The first was in Seattle. It's something, Scott, that you told us legitimately off the air yesterday was going to happen. You're like, I'm telling you right now, John Schneider, the Seahawks GM, he's going to trade for a left tackle. It's probably going to be Dwayne Brown. You also speculated on a running back, a particular running back. I'm not going to say that on the air, see if you get that one right a little bit later on. But you had said that you believed off the air, left tackle Dwayne Brown, who played in Seattle on Sunday, would go back to Seattle in a trade, and it happened.
Yeah, because, you know, this team realizes that they need to strike more offensive balance, you know, if they're going to have a chance to win the NFC again. You know, Russell Wilson talked about it pregame about how they need to run the ball better. And look, you can say what you want about Eddie Lacy. He doesn't look good. Thomas Rawls doesn't look good. But a big part of the issue is that left side of the offensive line, the pass blocking has held up, you know, almost adequately. But in terms of the run blocking, it's been horrible. It's like Jadeveon Clowney, like, was actually in the backfield when one of the handoffs happened last week.
He's going to do that to Dwayne. Clowney will do that to Dwayne Brown, too, though.
Yeah, but not as easily as many times. But, you know, it's like the left tackle wasn't even there. And 3-yard loss immediately. It has to improve. You got to protect Russell Wilson, although he's elusive. And, you know, I think this just stabilizes the line when they get Luke Joeckel back. The left side of the line is actually going to be respectable.
I don't think it helps them run the football better. I think the problem with them running the football is the running back stink.
Yeah. I think you can say that, and, you know, that makes all the sense in the world. But, you look, a lot of the running backs, when they get the ball, has been 2 yards in a cloud of dust, you know, stuff like that. You know, maybe you can get to the point where, you know, now with Brown in there and a healthy Joeckel coming back, you know, you're not talking about from a fantasy perspective, but just like more offensive balance where teams at least know they're going to run the ball and it's not going to be 2 and 3 yard losses.
Well, I mean, Dwayne Brown really didn't play for the Texans this year. He played that game last week and stuff like that. So, you know, he was holding out. They got something for him.
You got Jeremy Lane, a fifth-round draft pick in 2018, a second-round draft pick in 2019. So I think the Texans did well for player. They obviously were not going to re-sign in the offseason. And, you know, they got a cornerback, which they needed, a quarterback who had fallen out of favor in Seattle. A couple draft picks, so I got it.
They definitely need an improvement in the defensive backfield. And look, all along, Seattle's needed to improve the offensive line, and they've done it.
All right, we take a break. When we come back, we go YouTube live talk about Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Next on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Hello, world. Welcome inside our Halloween extravaganza here on the Roto Express. I am Greg Susser. This is the fantasy executive, Reggie Jackson. This is the King, Scott Angle. And this is, what should I call you today, Mr. Modica?
Local 125 or something like that.
This is local Matt Modica. Welcome inside, as I mentioned, Studio 34 for our Halloween treat of a show. And we wanted to, what?
Go ahead.
Okay. We want to talk a bit of a trick or treat when it comes to the
Oscar Gamble, not Reggie Jackson.
You told me this morning.
That's great.
Well, no, they had me because they got the hat like this. So I got the hat like this. So I'm Oscar Gamble because the hat is sitting up on top of the fro.
Okay.
The frizz out.
Longtime baseball fans will really appreciate Corey's outfit. You look like you should be on a baseball card.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
You look like you should be in the mental house.
or silence peasant. Silence peasant.
Nice.
All right. So the question becomes whether Jimmy Garoppolo is what to make of Jimmy Garoppolo. So let's get into the trade first, guys. The trade sends Jimmy Garoppolo over to the San Francisco 49ers for a second round pick. Of course, the Patriots believe that the Niners will either have the first or second pick in the NFL draft, and thus it's basically a late first round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. My initial reaction was, it's a great deal for both sides. That was my initial reaction. Ultimately, San Francisco, which clearly scouted the quarterbacks, I'm going to assume, in the draft this past year, or this upcoming year, I should say, feel none of them are as good as what they're getting in Garoppolo. They didn't want to spend a first-round draft pick on him. And in the second round, Garoppolo's better. So basically, you're using your second-round draft choice on Jimmy Garoppolo. Got it. No problem. The Patriots waited as long as they possibly could have to trade Jimmy Garoppolo away. They left him as their backup. They weren't going to franchise tag him this offseason. So you get what you can for him now, which is, again, ultimately a late first-round pick, because that's where San Francisco's second-round pick is. That was my initial reaction. Peter King of Sports Illustrated, he wrote that love the trade for San Francisco, didn't really understand it from a New England side because they could have gotten more previously if they traded him away. They could have franchised him and traded him. I don't know about that.
I don't think they want to trade him in the AFC.
You don't think so?
I don't think they want to move him in the AFC. I think they was looking for the right NFC team to move him to.
Okay. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah. And if you look at the trade they did last year at the draft, they got multiple picks and all that. So it was something. The thing is, Kirk Cousins now, is he still coming? Are they going to lock up Garoppolo long term?
He's the loser in this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's Kirk Cousins.
Maybe
Cousins,
he ends up on the Jets.
That's what I was about to say. He's the loser in this because now he's going to have a situation where he's going to have to choose between DC and the Jets. And those are not good situations historically.
Well, you know, San Francisco is not a good situation, so I don't know if he's necessarily a loser, but, you know, maybe they would build a team more around him. Like, the Jets already have some pieces there, I think, but, you know, they're playing more respectfully, at least in the short term. But, you know, with Garoppolo, look, the one thing, and, like, I know some of the listeners playing this, I'm in a dynasty league. And I could use another quarterback. So if you are in a dynasty league, you know, I'm going to go heavy on Garoppolo, I think, because, look, we haven't seen much of him as a starter. When you put anybody in there, we've seen in New England with Matt Castle, you can throw somebody in there and they'll do well. He's kind of unproven, but look, there's a lot of teams around the league that wanted him, and the fact that he finally did get dealt, if there's a lot of front office people and scout types who like him, I'm going to take the crack.
And for fantasy purposes, he did not go to Iowa. He went to Eastern Illinois.
Tell you this.
I just want to make that clear for everybody.
With Tony Romo. I'll tell you this, that this is Jake's best tweet ever. He's basically, and, you know, I don't give Jake credit for making tweets. And that particular tweet last night from Jake, and I actually got a text message saying that was Jake's best tweet ever. I agree. He literally said that, how could Jimmy Garoppolo be good? He didn't go to Iowa with George Kittle.
Oh, that's a good one.
It was a really, really good tweet. And to be exact, so to read it perfectly, it was, wonder what this means for Kittle's value since Garoppolo and him didn't go to college together. It was a really, really good tweet by Jake, which actually got 128 likes on Twitter. And 278 likes on Twitter. Yeah. So
nice job. Got it all in, kid.
Nice job, Jake. And I will give him credit when we talk to him coming up a little bit later on in the show. All right, so Jimmy Garoppolo goes to San Francisco. He's a quarterback. Great. Maybe the scouts are right. Maybe he's a long-term thing in San Francisco. And I mean, he's the guy. They traded a second-round pick for him, and they're going to give him every opportunity to be the guy, re-sign him in the offseason, and see what they have. But I'm not worried about the offseason. I'm not worried about next year. I'm worried about now. And Matt, I'm the Carlos Hyde owner. You know this. I'm the Carlos Hyde guy. I've been really worried about Carlos Hyde. And I talked about that on yesterday's show. I talked about it on the VFFs also. That with C.J. Beathard as a quarterback, this is a nothing. This team is a nothing. It is a disaster.
Even with Pierre Garçon, I mean, he was taking a major hit too.
100%. So all of this was a disaster. So the obvious question here for me is, how soon does Garoppolo start, and what is this going to do to Carlos Hyde, and what is this going to do to Pierre
Garçon? I got to think it's got to take him at least a week or two. Probably by week two, week three, the latest he's starting there. They got to see what they have in him. Hopefully that does help Hyde. Like you said, Beathard has just he's crushed his value. If they're so intent on trading Hyde, or if they want to make a move, why wouldn't they trade him to Seattle? I mean, if Seattle needs a running back,
they're probably not going to trade him within the division.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that mean? He's a free agent anyway after the year. It's not like, you know, they're competing with Seattle.
It would make a lot of sense because they would be looking for a physical runner, but yeah.
You got to have some hope for Pierre Garçon. Look, I don't know what Jimmy G is going to be honest with you. He had a couple of games with the Patriots. We've seen other quarterbacks like Scottman go leave there and not be good. So I think what the Patriots got was a hell of a deal. They'll probably get a top 35 pick.
They got rid of both them cats this year, Brissett and Janine Garofalo.
So you got to assume Brian Hoyer's getting signed.
I got a lot of
things. So Brian Hoyer was cut with the Garofalo trade. Many people, Matt and myself included, think Brian Hoyer heads back to New England once he clears waivers to be the backup for Brady, because right now they do not have a backup quarterback on the team. It also signals, Corey, that Tom Brady, he's not going anywhere for a while.
Nah, Tom Brady will be there. You've got to keep dealing with him, the GOAT, you know what I'm saying? So, nothing to see here.
Yeah, and as far as, like, Garoppolo, look, the optimism has to be for the longer term, because I've already seen reports where he's probably not playing until week 10.
He's still disheveled.
He's not playing, probably, silence, peasant. please, adjust my robe, peasant. But... you know, probably not playing till week 10. I've already seen a report, he's got to learn the playbook. You know, he doesn't have familiarity, with the guys around there. So, from a fantasy perspective, you got to have patience. I got a new article on rotoexperts.com, my roster rundown. And right now, Hyde's got to be on your bench and got to consider benching Garçon, too.
Oh, I don't agree. Afford to bench Carlos Hyde, dude.
We're talking about playing
Devontae Booker, Andre Ellington, DeAndre Washington. How can I bench Carlos Hyde?
Well, basically saying not outright benching, but like, you know, you have to consider what your other options are. He's like, we were talking about him earlier in the season, the guy, did you plug him in and forget it? He's far from that right now, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the Garoppolo trade is going to help him, obviously. It's going to change everything for him, thankfully. The Niners have their bye in week 11. I think we see Garoppolo before that, to be clear. I'll say this, I'll go a step further. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to start this week against Arizona. I will be surprised if he doesn't play.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They said, like, maybe not till week 10.
Yeah, again, I'm going against that.
Yes, he's saying he's going to play this week.
That's totally legitimate, because I'd rather have him learn on the job. I'd rather have him learn on the job than throw Beathard out there.
I don't know about that. I might want to wait till after the bye, give him a full, whatever it is, that five-game window, and judge him that way instead of just throwing him in.
Yeah, throw him in there.
Going anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's the way that's what
that's a bold call.
Yeah,
well,
what's the difference between going 0-9 or 1-8?
You want to have him prepared for when he does get that start. Like, what's one more game going to do? You got a bye coming up. Let him know the system, so when he steps in there, say week 12 and the rest of the season, he's fully acclimated to it.
No,
you want to be able to judge him correctly.
I'm going to go somewhere in the middle of that, Greg. Totally agree. Yeah, I'm going to go somewhere in the middle of that, because it's not like they're going to make the playoffs. So what's one more game? But I don't think maybe two more games of Beathard just might be too much.
But I'm just saying, you want to have him prepared, and you want to be able to judge him correctly. They got to make a big decision here. They just traded a second-round pick. They got to say, are we investing in Garoppolo, or are we going to go get Kirk Cousins?
Well, I'll explain why I don't think Kirk Cousins is an answer anymore. They're investing in Garoppolo, at least for the rest of this year. And a second-round pick, they'll franchise him and bring him back next year for a year. They don't have him long-term. He's going back. He's going to be the quarterback next year. And C.J. Beathard is so horrific and so terrible. And I don't want you to discount Kyle Shanahan's desperation. Like, when C.J. Beathard comes out and gets beaten to the ground by the Cardinals at 4 o'clock on Sunday, Kyle Shanahan's going to be like, I'm done with this crap. I'm going to give Jimmy Garoppolo
sometimes
a shot.
I'd be thinking Shanahan going to go out there and be the quarterback sometimes.
Yeah. It would do a lot for this team emotionally to win a game.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's why I think you see Garoppolo at some point on Sunday. We'll talk more about this from a Kirk Cousins perspective when we come back here on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
With you on the Roto Experts. It's interesting, Corey, that your big takeaway here from the Garoppolo trade was this sucks for Kirk Cousins.
No, it sucks for Kirk Cousins because now he don't have a chance to go join his BFF Kyle Shanahan out there in San Fran, get that big contract and try to put that thing together. Now he's got to either stay in Washington, which is a dysfunctional situation, or he's got to come to the Jets, which is another dysfunctional situation. So if I'm Kirk Cousins this morning, I'm like, my goodness, what am I going to do? Yeah. I got to stay here with these goons, or I got to go to New York with that group.
Yeah, but are the Jets really dysfunctional? Everybody really perceived that before the season, but
When did you change your mind on the Jets, Scott?
They have some young
historically,
talent.
Historically, they've been...
Yes, you're right.
Since you left them, since you stopped being a fan of the Jets, they've been historically dysfunctional. They haven't won since as long as your Mets.
Ah, Master Parson, long have I have marveled at your immature wit. But, the Jets are trying to rebuild. They have some young talent there. That might be something of an attractive situation for Cousins.
The front office is not attractive.
Well, you know what? If they got green besides on their uniforms, it'll be attractive.
I wouldn't be excited to be going to the Jets.
Yeah.
They're not like an upcoming rebuilding team that, you know, I don't see a great future for the Jets right now. I mean, I'm curious about the Bills. I know they cleared up $54 million.
Then they can go get Kirk Cousins?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying.
You'd rather have Tyrod? You'd rather have Cousins over Tyrod?
I honestly would rather have a young franchise quarterback is what I think this team needs. Franchise needs. They got all these draft picks. We gotta build with it. And
I agree.
Yeah, but I think the Bills would probably rather definitely have Kirk Cousins than Tyrod Taylor.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Well, they don't seem to like him. Peter King did a story in Monday Morning Quarterback about how good of a job that the Buffalo Bills are doing rebuilding.
You know, they really did the whole scouting unit. They got really good people from other places. They were able to... You know, so that looks good. I still question the Sammy Watkins.
Peter King said that the way they're doing it in Buffalo now is the blueprint of how to rebuild in the NFL.
There are two teams that already have quarterbacks in place, but Kirk Cousins would be an upgrade, I think, would be Minnesota and Jacksonville.
You know what, I don't know about Minnesota's interesting.
Minnesota got a quarterback.
Minnesota's interesting. We don't
know about Teddy Bridgewater.
We don't. I mean, you're right, Scott. That could be a very interesting spot for him. If Teddy Bridgewater comes back and is nothing this year, that's an interesting spot for him, Minnesota.
The Giants?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do the Kirk Cousins thing.
No, can you imagine Cousins and Beckham, though?
Sure.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants are doing the Kirk Cousins thing. They got to rebuild from the ground up. As I believe it was Albert Breer that wrote this article. It was Albert Breer. And he wrote a great line last night, and it says this. If it doesn't work out, the Niners can take another crack at the position. Having only given up the same sort of draft pick for Jimmy Garoppolo that the Jets gave up for Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah, no, that's why I don't think this is... I think he's going to... That's why I say Bring him along after the bye so he knows the system. And you get an honest look at this guy. Just throwing him in, I don't think... Look, they may very well do that. But I think if you want to have an honest and a real look at this kid and see if he's the guy you want to invest in, you bring him in after the bye.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, you know, I am not disagreeing, Matt, that that's the smart decision. You bring him in after the bye. Totally understandable and fair. But ultimately, from what I've seen of Kyle Shanahan, he's a desperate man. And he will throw caution to the wind and just throw this dude out there. As Albert Breer said in this article, it's an easy trade for the Niners to make, right? You're giving up a second rounder for chance at a franchise quarterback. For the Patriots, they want to grab a long-term. Evidently, they were willing to pay him long-term to make it happen. He wanted to start, obviously. So
he wanted a shot to show what he can do.
Yeah.
He wanted to shoot a shot.
We were talking about Garoppolo all offseason, mm-hmm. You know, about where he might go, who might acquire him, or get traded around draft time, et cetera. You know, obviously, you know, there's been quarterbacks in the past, everybody from Matt Schaub to Matt Hasselbeck, you know, like where they started as backup quarterbacks, and there was a market for them, and there was a reason for that with some of them, and, you know, there's got to be a reason here. Why is so many organizations after Jimmy Garoppolo? It's not only the landscape, but they know something about him. The scouting departments here know something about him.
Emery said he sucked.
Really?
Well, Emery could be right. You know, he could be right, but it's a desolate landscape out there.
I'm surprised Cleveland didn't get involved.
at one point, they were reportedly involved. But I think they want him in the AFC.
But the difference is, though, I think that not only that, Corey, which is a good point, but, you know, at least they can say, okay, DeShone Kizer, maybe he's the quarterback of the future. San Francisco doesn't have a quarterback of the future.
Correct.
Now they do.
Absolutely. So sticking around in New England here for a moment.
Finn. Make sure he's all right.
Sticking around in New England here for a moment with the Patriots. Chris Hogan hurt himself this past Sunday with a shoulder injury. Ian Rappaport reported this morning that the good news is he is not going to need surgery on that shoulder. He just needs to rest and rehab. He'll be out a couple of weeks. Good news with Patriots is that bye comes at a good time for them. He can rest it, and it may be a similar injury to Golden Tate. We could see Chris Hogan back out there in just a couple of weeks. So Chris Hogan, not a major concern, which is good news, Matt Wodzicka.
That's definitely good news for the Patriots, like you said, the bye. And if he misses, say, week 10. If it's not longer than that, the Patriots are going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's a foregone conclusion. So just get as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Like I said, Rex Burkhead's a guy to have on your bench. Maybe Philip Dorsett might even become an option if he misses a game or two.
If he does miss a game or two, you're desperate. You can spend a dollar here on Philip Dorsett. So we're talking about the main trades here, the big trades, rather. Dwayne Brown, of course, goes to Seattle. And with New England, you have Jimmy Garoppolo headed off to San Francisco. Scott, you have speculated on the Seahawks making another trade for a running back because their running backs are horrific in Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy. A couple of things here. I got a question on Twitter. I want to throw it out at you, and I want to throw something else out at you as well. Given how bad the running backs are, is C.J. Procise someone worth picking up?
Oh, God.
Here's the thing with Procise. He's not able to stay healthy. He's completely made of glass. But when he's in there, I believe, that's the ideal running back that they want in there based on what they've seen from the other guys. You saw him against New England and Philadelphia last year. He had that big run against the Eagles and played a very, very good game as a versatile running back against New England. That's the guy they want. Now, look. I would not be surprised if they pull off a trade. I think there's an outside shot that this team could, you know, maybe pick up an Isaiah Crowell or a Bilal Powell or something like that, and it wouldn't shock me. The Seahawks is not a trading lead, but this is a trading team. They traded for Marshawn Lynch during the season. They've traded for Percy Harvin during the season. They've traded for Dwayne Brown during the season.
So an option, yes.
C.J. Procise would be excellent in flag football.
Very good.
He would be dominant flag
they'd
football player.
They'd pull off
player.
The flag and he'd get hurt. I'm sorry.
Well, let me ask this, Scotty. You speculated on a running back yesterday. I'm not going to bring him up. But I just
mentioned both of them.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to speculate on a different one.
Okay.
Frank Gore.
Well, Maybe, you know, it's like if they're looking at it just for this year, and you know, but the, with the Dwayne Brown trade, they're in win now mode. It's like, you know, that's something interesting there. The Colts are out of it, you know, and Gore's 34 years old. He's a veteran running back. He can still run well inside. I do think that's an interesting name because you don't have to get like a standout in there. You want somebody who's respectable, and Frank Gore can be respectable. And
the options
and,
you have now are not respectable.
What's that?
The options the Seahawks have now are not respectable.
Eddie Lacy, I don't think is healthy. I think
are they
Thomas Rawls.
Are they respect? The question is, are they respectable?
No.
Okay. I still think it should be.
But they're not suspended.
I don't know why, you know. I don't care that they're in the same division, but Carlos Hyde is a free agent at the end of the year, so it's not even guaranteed that he would stay with Seattle. If San Francisco is looking to get draft pick, get something for this guy, even if you trade him in the division, you're 0-8. It's not like you're even competing with this team.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that.
I don't buy that.
You don't agree with that?
I don't see. It does nothing. It's not like you're competing with them. So and he's a free agent, so it would have to be that Seattle's going to sign him long term, make that commitment to him.
I just think the teams don't want to help each other out.
I originally thought that, but he makes some excellent points. And look, you know, the Seahawks are in win now mode, and Pete Carroll prefers a physical style running back. That's why I mentioned Crowell. Powell is a guy too because I think he can also catch the ball out of the backfield, and you know the Jets are not really giving him you know a big role. And then there was one other guy that I thought about too, you know, guy that I like. You know, what about Doug Martin?
You do love Doug Martin, but why would the Bucs do that?
I'm just saying, you know, the Bucs are not in it right now. And
well, what do you mean? Why would you say they're not in it?
What's their record right now? Like they got two wins, right?
I mean, Carlos Hyde has more receptions this year than he had all of last year in 13 games. And I just think he's a perfect fit for that team. But, you know, we'll see.
The Bucs sit here at 2-5. You're absolutely right, Scotty. Yeah. I didn't see the Bucs making
that
move.
You hurt Jameis feeling when you say that record.
I'm sorry. You're covering his ears.
Covering his ears so he doesn't hear you talk about their record.
Nah, I'm sorry,
Jameis.
I think the Bucs would probably want to move Doug Martin if they could get rid of that contract.
They're talking in a running back right now.
Harry Connick Jr. is copying me. Look at this.
He must be dressed like Willy Wonka too.
Yes.
Yeah.
This isn't very fair. I look better than him.
I'm sure you do, Greg.
You do.
Yes.
Look at this. Look at that.
You're doing a good job. You're doing a better job
Modica's
than he is.
Modica's dressed like he could be hiding an everlasting gobstopper from you too.
I knew what you said, though. I'll let it go.
We'll take a break.
Just get my order correct.
We're going to come back.
You're going to steal it.
More headlines from yesterday, including what's up with Devontae Freeman, and more on Jameis Winston as well, and what's up with the Titans, too. Roto Experts continues on right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts. Let's talk about some of the big names from yesterday and some of the bigger stories. I mentioned Devontae Freeman headed to break. Devontae Freeman popped up yesterday with a bit of a shoulder injury, which Corey could possibly explain why he was seemingly limited on Sunday.
Yeah, that could be the case, but they're saying that it's a small. Oh boy, they're saying that it's a small thing and that he should be all right. Me and Matt, we talked about this yesterday, touched on it on Friday night doing Old School Fantasy, the remix. Sell Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman had 44%, though. Remember, we were talking, he was in that 30 to 40 range.
Oh, he went back, so he bounced back up.
And he got 40. And look, his day got saved on that 58-yard play.
Exactly. So his weeks have been, he's been being saved these past couple of weeks. The touchdown, the 58-yard run, he's really not doing nothing
right now. I don't know if semantically I agree with being saved, because that's what the kind of player Tevin Coleman is. He can rip off for a long run or get an end zone carry at any time. With Devonta,
but his snaps were going down.
Right, but what I'm saying is he's the type of player that we talk about. Anytime he touches the ball, something can happen, and that's why you like Tevin Coleman. Yeah. Now, as far as Freeman goes, my new column on rotoexperts.com, I talk about, you know, go ahead and see if the owner's getting panicky, because in the last three games, he has not scored a touchdown. The rushing yardage is very down. He has not scored more than four passes in any of those games. So go buy on Devonta Freeman right now.
Tried to do it yesterday.
Well, I like the idea of buying Devonta Freeman. But again, the shoulder injury is something that, you know, I don't want to say it's concerning, but it obviously limited him a little bit on Sunday. So just be aware of that particular issue. The Titans returned to practice yesterday after their bye week. A couple of notes here. Delanie Walker, no, it's only Monday, did not practice coming out of the bye. The last we saw of him, he was on crutches coming off a game last week. We thought it was just a bone bruise. He avoided injury, but we'll say this. Jonnu Smith could be a thing, Matt, if Delanie Walker does not play.
Yeah, no, Jonnu Smith could be a thing. I believe he was the third-round pick. He's got a couple touchdowns. He's somebody that could step right into this spot for Walker. Walker is a favorite target of the quarterback there in Tennessee. So this is a guy that could have relevance. I'm looking for, be honest with you, out of the bye, I'm looking for a big week from DeMarco Murray. I think, you know, DeMarco Murray has refused to go away. He's finally got maybe some time to heal. So if you want to roll the dice, if you can make a trade for him, I'd buy on DeMarco Murray. I'd buy this whole team going forward.
Everyone's seemingly buying on a guy like Corey Davis, who returned to limited practice. He says he's going to play this week. He says he's healthy, raring to go. You said you're buying on everybody. Does that include guys like Rashard Matthews and Eric Decker as well?
I don't know about Decker, but Rashard Matthews, I don't think I have to pay an exuberant price. He's a nice player, and he's a guy that I wouldn't mind having on my team, that if I need to throw in the lineup, I have him there, or as a flex option. But I don't think he's going to come at a high cost at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay exorbitant price for him either. I think he's kind of morphed into a wide receiver four. Like, you know, the numbers are disappointing, but you know, in the right situation, he might be useful. They face Baltimore this week, and you never know which way it's going to go with Baltimore, but I think that's going to be a low-scoring game.
Speaking of Baltimore and potentially of a low-scoring game, there's potentially no Joe Flacco this week. Now, Flacco was obviously concussed in their game last week against Miami. It was a Thursday night game, so it gives him extra time to heal. John Harbaugh says, listen, he's fine. We kind of expect him to play on Sunday, but we'll take it day by day. Ultimately, like I said, he is coming back from the concussion, so if Ryan Mallett starts, that's probably a disaster for Baltimore.
Yeah, Ryan Mallett is pretty damn bad. I mean, he gives everybody that argument of why Kaepernick should be in the league.
Totally.
And it is a valid argument when you put up a Ryan Mallett in that case. I think Tennessee is going to smash Baltimore this weekend. I don't think Baltimore is very good. And now, I mean, even if Flacco plays, I think they lose. So
I think it's going to be a very physical game. I'm not looking for it to be a high-scoring game. I could see something like 20-10 Tennessee, something like that. You know, as far as Baltimore goes, really, Alex Collins is really the only viable guy, it seems, right now. And you think it would be that simple defensively, schematically, to, like, load the front against him, but he does make people miss.
Well, the thing here is with Tennessee is their secondary is their weakness. And look, Flacco, I don't know if he's gonna make it for the Sunday. That was a pretty. I know it's 10 days and all that.
So Devontae Adams come back.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's Mallett, I don't see him taking advantage of that secondary. So, I just think this lines up. We keep reiterating the point. Like certain teams, the bye comes at the perfect time. The Patriots with Hogan and the injury there. I think Murray, he was never going to leave that field, and the coaches kept putting him out there, so the bye week forced him. He probably got dressed up anyway, put the pads on.
I'd say he probably went to the field anyway, just in case. Sticking with Baltimore here, Scott, we mentioned Alex Collins, who we're going to talk about a little bit next hour when it comes to the waiver wire and if he's out there. But he's earned more time. We've said it for weeks here on our show. If you just watch him run like he's their best runner, He has fumbling issues. I'm sure Seattle would like to have him back because he runs very, very hard and very, very strong. It's very, very tough to bring down. So Alex Collins, according to John Harbaugh, is going to get some more time. But Buck Allen seems to be trending potentially the other way because Danny Woodhead, remember him, he's eligible to come off the PUP list as of, I believe, week 11, which means right after their bye, which I think is in week 10. Danny Woodhead could be back. Are you stashing Danny Woodhead?
Why not? You know, what he does when he's in there.
Why not? Because you need to use a bench spot for it. That's why not.
Well, look, I would try to find some room for him.
Hey, if you get Elliott, I would, I would love to take a shot on Woodhead.
We know how Matty feels about Woodhead and what he can do when he's in there. I think, they have a backfield then, that is more threatening to defenses because you can have Collins running the ball and you can have Woodhead as the pass catcher. They could complement each other very nicely and both be useful in fantasy.
So you are right now with waivers running here, of course, tonight, tomorrow night, depending on your league. If Danny Woodhead is out there, you are buying.
I'm certainly making a push for it, especially, look, it depends on roster context. We always talk about that, and Woodhead could be back week 11 and out again in week 13, but you can't worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, if you're in the league, as we know, there, Morris and McFadden, thank you. Morris and McFadden, if they're available, they're your top priorities and stuff. But if you miss out on them or they're not available, and a guy like Woodhead is, and you're not going to have Zeke for the next six games, you got to take a shot on some upside.
Yeah, I understand that. But again, the position that I'm in, for instance, in a league, I need a running back for this week. I need the craft that is out there for me. I need a running back. I don't think I can afford to pick up Danny Woodhead and wait.
Yeah, and look, maybe that's true and you can't do it, so then you have to go a different route.
Sure.
But, I mean, if somebody cut like Theo Riddick and you're in a PPR, that's a guy that I'm interested in. I think the Lions, if the Lions want to do something this year, need to get Riddick more involved. I think they're a better team with Theo Riddick involved. I don't know why they waited until the second half of that game to do it.
Yeah, Matt makes a lot of good points, and maybe he should be a coordinator. But a lot of times, though, what Matt brings up is just not what the coaches are going to do. Theo Riddick is just like, in my new column, I talk about just cutting him because. I think he's caught more than four passes in a game just once. Hasn't topped 50 yards receiving at all. Not involved in the running game. The presence of Ameer Abdullah has really negated Theo Riddick.
And look, but the one thing I will say, if you watch that game, and I was watching the World Series, to be fair, I was in and out of NyQuil nightmares and all that kind of stuff. But to be fair, when they got to the goal line, those offensive play calling, it was terrible.
Sure.
It really was. And you have a guy like Riddick, who you can exploit and have matchups that favor your team. And he showed it last year, what he can do. Cooter hinted at it last week. It didn't happen. Put Abdullah, put Riddick in the same in the backfield together. You're a better team. At least you have defenses guessing more.
Yeah, that's a good point, because last year you saw Riddick, over the last 2 years, score points on, get touchdowns on draw plays because they thought maybe he was going to catch a pass.
Sure, and that was certainly the love with him. Now, Danny Woodhead, Corey, let me ask you about this thing on Woodhead, because you were off of Woodhead
Immediately.
So, immediately.
Signing.
Are you buying it now?
Hell no. What is he going to do?
The two of them are stashing him right now.
They're going to stash him?
Yeah.
Said he's coming back in week 11.
All right, good luck.
Yeah. Look, he'll be out by week 13.
He'll
but,
be out
know,
by
like,
week 11.
But look, they'll throw the ball
bring
to
the
him.
Cart, bring the cart. Bring the cart. It don't work. It don't work no more. Bring the cart.
Again?
They had the cart on standby.
Yeah. For CJ Prosize, they're just like, don't bring it out.
Don't tackle him.
Yeah. No, CJ Prosize, just leave the cart in the garage.
You got to take the flag around and see the pro-size waist. That's how you tackle him.
He's going to get injured in flag football.
Oh, that's not nice.
Speaking of didn't line up a replacement for
speaking
tomorrow.
Speaking of players that are injured, Andrew Luck will not practice this week.
We know, Greg.
Look at the glee. Look at the glee on Greg's face.
I just wanted to give you guys the update.
He's got this big Cheshire cat grin and Andrew Luck's not going to play again. He's injured. It's awesome.
Y'all mean to line up a replacement for tomorrow.
You're not coming.
The fantasy executive is feeling terrible.
Wow, you mean Matt's not going to be here? You're not going to be here?
Well, he's listed as questionable.
All right, well, let's just,
questionable.
Game time decision.
All right, Andrew Luck's not playing this week, and there's a good chance. We're talking about all these injured guys.
Health Danny performance factor is low.
Danny Woodhead is always hurt. Yeah. CJ Procise is always hurt. Andrew Luck is now always hurt. You know who's also always hurt?
Who?
Jordan Reed. You know who's not going to play Sunday? Jordan Reed.
Yeah, Jordan Reed has already been deemed out. I think I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't see Jordan Reed much more the rest of the season. He's going to be spotty in an action lineup. Go pick up Vernon Davis. Make him a priority.
We'll talk about him coming up next hour for sure, especially if you're looking at a tight end. I believe they play Seattle this week, which is a tough spot.
Yeah, but yeah.
Not for tight ends, though.
Not for tight ends. Vernon Davis, I think.
Ryan Griffin did nothing.
Well, Ryan
400 yards.
Ryan Griffin is not Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis still got it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he definitely does.
I'll tell you in a break. I have a Vernon Davis story.
we're gonna take the break here. When we come back, may I have please?
Jameis?
Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about Jameis on the other side.
Be careful, he's very fragile.
We'll talk about Jameis.
Sensitive like Corey.
Who is fragile? It's right here. I'm looking at a camera that's not on, but it's his right shoulder that hurts. And we'll talk about him when we come back here on the Redskins.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We're back now, and your boy Jameis.
That's my BFF.
Dirk Cutter considered pulling him on Sunday.
He's hurting
with that shoulder.
He's also making bad decisions, too, though.
That is also true.
But regardless of the health, like the decision-making all year since the preseason, like he threw a confounding interception in the preseason, Cutter pulled him aside. He was going down in the grasp and tried to throw this confounding shovel pass to Doug Martin. The decision making and the accuracy, there are issues right now.
Yeah, there are issues right now. It looks like Jameis, I'll be honest with you, cover his ears, Greg, because I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Cover it up.
It looked like Jameis is regressing right now. He's going back to a lot of his old ways. But by the same token, one of the appeals of Jameis is that helter-skelter style of play. That's one of the appeals to him, that Brett Favre style of play where he's like, you know what, I don't care, I'm just going to wing it. But at some point, you have to be able to control that. Tony Romo learned to control that. Brett Favre learned to control that. Jameis has to learn how to control that.
That will come with time.
I would like to talk to Matt about Jameis because, I'm going to ask with the later segment, I'm going to ask Matt. Because Jameis used to pitch, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to know, as somebody who used to pitch, how does that affect, you know, how does this sprained AC joint.
Well, if he was a pitcher right now, he'd be missing the strike zone and, like, you know, walking guys because that's how he looks. And by the way, you don't have to cover his ears, okay? If you saw him in the press conference Sunday, he was very upstanding. He says, I don't stand here and pout, you know? Like he's not Cam Newton. You don't have to cover his ears.
Ultimately, if you were a Cam Newton, if you were a Jameis Winston owner and he plays on Sunday, do you start him, Corey?
It's a good question because I'm looking at some of the situations. I'm looking at a league where I have Jameis. I called it my best team. It's now my second best team because the Zeke team outscored that team this week and took over the points lead. So, of my teams, it's tough. You know, it's tough. I find it incredibly difficult to sit Jameis because he can go for 400 and three touchdowns.
And that passes. Was the issue, right? Like, so 2 weeks ago, everybody benched him, myself included. Yeah. You benched him. I benched him for Brett Hundley. And he went for 400.
You got this report, right?
Now he's crying. He heard that.
One second, I'll get there. Sorry, I benched him 2 weeks ago.
Carolina.
And he went off. This past week in Carolina, everyone starts him, and he obviously had a setback with an AC joint. He was terrible. He almost got pulled. Now, we have no idea if he's going to play against New Orleans here on Sunday. New Orleans defense obviously stepped up in a major way.
That's not a good matchup for Jameis because that's an opportunistic defense. And the decision-making is not good. I would not want to be starting Jameis Winston this week.
Yeah, you know why? I think I do start him because of what you said. The Saints are on a 5-game winning streak. The Bucks are coming in with their backs to the wall. The Bucks are winning the game.
Yeah, but you know, at what cost? It could be two touchdowns, three interceptions, and they win the game. It's from a fantasy perspective. I'm not comfortable with Jameis.
Yeah, if they win the game, it's not going to be on the ground. It's not going to be on the legs of Doug Martin. It's going to be on the arm of Jameis Winston.
I think
Winston.
They have a very hard time winning that
game. Or the arm of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Or the arm of Ryan Fitzpatrick. They have to win. They have to win this game, though.
Yeah, otherwise they're dead.
Yeah, they're the team with the back against the wall. The Saints are the team on the 5-game winning streak. So give me the team with the back against
the
wall.
Saints are at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think Tampa Bay wins.
Let me ask you about another one of your boys, Corey, and that is Deonte Foreman. We talked about him a little while ago, but Deonte Foreman basically didn't play in this game. He was demoted to third string. Alfred Blue was once again the backup. And when Foreman had opportunities, he looked much better, right? Like, Foreman looked like a guy that was going to compete with Lamar Miller at some point. We have not seen that yet. If you are a Deonte Foreman owner. I know that. Are you going to
cut him?
Cut him?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I'm not going to cut him yet. I want to see what the situation is going to be this week. I think they may have been disciplining him for leaving practice.
I say you don't own him unless you have Lamar Miller. Because, like, unless Lamar Miller gets injured, Deonte Foreman's not going to be a thing.
Corey, you can own Lamar Miller if you'd like.
What you want?
We could talk during the break.
I really don't want to do this because that goes against everything that's about me.
Against all your beliefs?
Yeah. Who's your quarterback?
My quarterback is Carson Wentz.
So you're good there.
We are good there, yeah. And I wasn't going to trade you for a quarterback.
I'm looking to move Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I understand. And I just don't believe in trading for a quarterback.
All right.
Sorry.
I'd keep Wilson. I mean, he's top five.
That's the only thing. I know, I feel you. It's the only value. It's the only way I'll be able to make a five. I need to win 4 out of 5 to get into the playoffs in that league, and I'm not going to do it unless I have a solid RB1 moving forward. Matt, this Jameis Winston, this AC sprain, Jameis Winston used to be a pitcher. You think that has something to do with the motion?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's more due to the injury that he sustained. I don't think he ever got fully healthy, and then they said against the Bills he re-injured it. So, to me, that's more of the likelihood. And maybe we see Fitzmagic.
Maybe we'll see a little Fitzmagic on Sunday. When we come back, we'll get back in costume. We'll get ready to rock. We'll talk about Ezekiel Elliott. We'll look at the waiver wires. And we'll talk to you on television. 844-843-6879. The Roto Experts have 2 hours down. One more to go. Stick around. We'll be back right after this.